Midweek action has passed, which means it's time for a new episode of the Cardinal Kickoff. I'm Rowan Elbert. That's Maxwell Gilly. Max, midweek action, huge win for the Cardinals, 17-13. Now we're here talking about this great game and what it means for Ball State football.
I mean, when this game was announced to be a midweek action a few months ago, I don't think anyone would have expected it to be two teams that were 3-5. They were 2-2 in the MAC, and it was a meaningful game in the month of November. It was a highly entertaining game. It was a big win for the Cardinals, and it was a great example of what midweek action is supposed to be.
Max, me and you were both there. You were with the SL Digital crew as the pregame host and producer. I was working with ESPNU as the stage manager with Matt Schumacher. We both saw what transpired. But just what were your overall takeaways from such a solid win for the Cardinals?
My biggest takeaways were the risk. You got to risk it for the biscuit sometimes, and that's exactly what Ball State needed to do, and it really helped them get the win. I was really impressed by Coach Hughes' play calling. That was a risky move to go on 4th-and-2, but you know what? It worked, and I was just happy – you know, that Ball State was able to perform well on a national stage. And I think more than anything, obviously, Cardinal fans are going to be happy with the win. Kent State really had impressed me, because just the impressive turnaround of that program is something that I don't think has been talked about nearly enough.
Yeah, interim head coach promoted for a reason, because, I mean, you look at the expectations for Kent State, they were really dead to rights. They were looked at as a team that would be at the bottom of RPI. Beating UMass, like, again, sure, that's a team that hasn't had an FBS win all year, or any win for that matter. That was Kent State's first FBS win in over 21 games. To that, the point now where they were playing meaningful football in November, especially after the comeback win against Bowling Green. It's a big win for the Cardinals, bigger than you would think, because this Kent State team, you can't overlook them.
No, we talked about in the preview that it was going to be important for Ball State, obviously, to win. You look at, hey, the Cardinals needed 6 wins. That's what you got to do to make a bowl game. So you couldn't really overlook this Kent State team. But it ended up being a good game. It ended up, like I mentioned, just being a fun one for Wednesday night action.
It was a fun game, especially after the 2-minute timeout. Ball State had a 4th down, and that was the debate. Do you kick it with DC Pippen in his first game as a starting kicker for the Cardinals? It would have been a 48-yarder, or do you go for it, risk it, knowing that if you score a touchdown, it basically ends the game? That was the big thing. Everyone's just kind of, you know, waiting for that decision. And when the Cardinals came out, scored a touchdown with Cam Anthony on that play. Oh, how satisfying for the Cardinal faithful.
And it was a good crowd for Wednesday night. And for those who stuck around, they ended up seeing a great ending. It was much needed for Ball State to get this win. You know, I hate to have to kind of look in the past, but that loss against NIU, it was a real tough one. And if you would have lost 2 straight, that would have been demoralizing for Ball State. So they have the time off. They're back home. They have been perfect at home this year. They get the winning streak to continue, 4-0 at home for the first time since 2013. And, Cardinals, they just really performed well. And we keep going back and forth, feels like, week after week. And if Ball State can play like this for the rest of the season, that's going to be very well for the Ball State Cardinals.
And for more on such a big win for Ball State, how about head coach Mike Yuremovich?
All right, obviously excited to get the win. It's hard to win in this conference. It's hard to win a conference game, and that's a good football team we just played. They are much, much improved, obviously. Coach is doing a great job with them there. I got a ton of respect for the way they play the game, how physical they are. But was really excited to win another game in the 4th quarter, which is something we've been talking about since January 6th or whenever classes started last year. So to win a game in the 4th quarter is what you got to do in this conference, and we got to keep doing that. Our staff did a great job with that call during the week. It's a Y-high play, and our coaches got together and talked about it, and it was something that we thought would be there in the red zone, and you never know when you're going to need it, but that was a good situation for it. It's really similar to last week. you know, everybody talked about how many rushing yards Northern had, but I thought the defense played more than good enough for us to win because they kept them out of the end zone and created turnovers. And we don't care about any stats on this piece of paper other than how many touchdowns we give up and how many turnovers we get on defense, and then offensively, how many touchdowns we score and how many turnovers, you know, we have. You're not going to win college football games with field goals. What decides football games? That's it. Stats are for losers, man.
Back in the BetCM Ross SportsLink studios with more Cardinal kickoff. Max, let's address the elephant in the room. Sure, it was a big win for Ball State, 17-13. Really, the only points they scored were in that fourth quarter, or in the second half points when it comes to that, in that fourth quarter. But then you look at it this way. Kent State had opportunity after opportunity to win that game. Let's talk about that clock management in the fourth quarter. That was probably a stretch, a one-minute stretch that the Golden Flashes probably want back.
Oh, 100%. That was one of my biggest takeaways just as soon as the game was over, was just that Kent State really lost it for themselves there. It just wasn't great clock management, like you mentioned. It felt like we were up there in the booth. We were not the ones having to make the calls, but it really felt like, hey, probably could have used one of their timeouts, probably should have, run the ball more, or just made better decisions late. It felt like they weren't used at all to being close late into the game, which doesn't make sense because in the comeback victory against Bowling Green, it went down to the wire. So that's why I was kind of confused. I don't know. Maybe it was just like all the time off, but either way, it was just a rough day for Kent State at the end of the game.
The play that really sticks out to me on Kent's side was the flea flicker to the wide receiver. Quarterback Drew DeShields, he's wide open in the flat on the trick play. Could have been an easy 10 yards. Instead, he goes on the hot route, throws it into double coverage. Ball State picks it off with Joe Edrick Lewis. I mean, just not even little things like that. The big things that you really want back.
Oh, 100%. And, I mean, I can understand why you want to do trickery. You want to keep Ball State on their heels. But I just felt like being the armchair quarterback here that I wouldn't have wanted to be the one to have to make that call. It was an interesting choice. Sometimes it's just better to play it safe, and that's the opposite of what Kent State did.
Yeah, and then also you look at it on the fourth down play where they go wildcat, which, to be fair, that could have worked. I mean, I like the idea, but then bad snap, Ball State takes advantage.
Oh, and that's just it. It was just unlucky there. That was the biggest thing. I mean, I think if the snap would have been successful, who knows what could have happened. And it's just little decisions like that that ultimately costed Kent State the win. So, I mean, we obviously have mentioned, you know, this was such a big win for Ball State. But like I mentioned earlier, you know, Kent State really did impress me. It's just some little mistakes that ended up costing them this game.
Especially when you look at it where Kent State, they had more total yards than Ball State. Usually you would look at that and more times than not, that's the winning team that wins in that number.
Oh, 100%. It really felt like late in this game that it was going to be Kent State's game to win, and it would have been impressive. You know, Kent State hadn't beat Ball State since 2019. They hadn't won in Muncie since 2001. That's what it looked like it was going to be, and I could already see Hollywood trying to, you know, write the script for this wonderful Kent State return, but ultimately that wasn't meant to be. Cardinals just continue to be undefeated at home. There's some magic in Schumann Stadium for the Ball State Cardinals.
You can feel the magic. You really can. I don't want to discredit Ball State at all. I know it might sound like we are. I really don't want to discredit this team because of all they had to go through. Kyle Kelly had such a great performance at quarterback, despite that right leg kind of bothering him a little bit, but not to the point where it held him back. He looked great out there. TJ Horton came in clutch at the running back position. First touchdown of the season for him. So, like, again, Ball State, it was next man up in that respect, and they really came through.
Oh, and I got to agree with you for that. And just going back on Kyle Kelly, you know, it really just showed the toughness that Kyle Kelly has and the trust that this coaching staff has in him. I mean, they brought him back here. He had entered the transfer portal. He comes back. He wins the starting job. He earns it. And there were some games which did not go his way. And it would have been very easy for the coaching staff to try and go in a different way. But they have trusted Kyle Kelly. He is their guy. The team around him trusts him. And he just performed well on a national stage, which is exactly what Ball State was hoping for.
I don't know if it's just me, but Kyle Kelly, when the lights are bright in a situation like this, it seems like, and at home as well, where you're going to get the best crowds, it seems like that's when we get the best version of him.
Oh, 100%. I mean, everybody grows up watching ESPN, and if you played football at any level, there's a chance that you're like, hey, I want to play college football. I want to be on national television. They understood that. They understood that this was a big deal. We mentioned that the records, they were the exact same. It was going to be a meaningful game, and it was just Ball State seems to have wanted it more at home, and that's really what helped them get the win.
They really did want it more. A guy who really wanted it had the game-winning touchdown, tight end Cam Anthony. He talked to the media after the big win.
I mean, first of all, I just want to thank God, because without him, you know, wouldn't have been able to be in that situation. But coach called the play, and it was a TV timeout, so it took a while, and people were like, come on, Cam, like, you know what I'm saying? But I was just like, cool. Faked the block, and then saw the ball was to me, and I was just run as fast as you can. I didn't want to get caught, so put my head down, sprinted, got in the end zone. So on that play, it's designed to draw the, like, everybody flow one way, and then me leak out on the backside. So I was expecting to be that wide open, but, you know, I always expect somebody to be there. So, I mean, anything to win the game. I honestly don't care about, like Coachy says, I don't care about stats. I don't care about none of that. Like, if I'm doing good on paper, as long as we win the game, I could play terrible and I'll be happy. So it really means nothing to me. I just want to win. That's it. Oh, yeah, for sure. I think, you know, as a collective, we do that. So it doesn't matter who's getting all the media glory or whatever. It's just if we're winning games, everybody's happy. And, you know, that's top to bottom.
Back in the Betsy M. Ross SportsLink studios with more Cardinal Kickoff. Joining us, a guy who was on call on SL Digital Radio for this game, Braden Carroll. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing good. It's interesting. You know, I covered the Auburn game, the Purdue game, and the New Hampshire game. So this it had been a long time since covering Ball State football, and I was impressed. I mean, a win, that's a big win for the team, and keeps them bowl eligible. So doing good after that.
Yeah, nothing beats midweek action and being on the call for that as well. But I have to bring it up. What were your overall thoughts on the game itself?
Well, Max, you would know this because I talked to you during the pregame show. One of my keys for Ball State was, you know, the wide receiver by committee plan hadn't really worked this season. And I was proven wrong. I mean, nobody went above 60 yards on this Ball State team. And still, the performance was great from the whole wide receiver crew. You know, Kyle Kelly, when he started getting into rhythm with his throws, you could see guys like Cameron Anthony step up and make plays, run those hot routes, and really get the job done. I thought the offense was much improved. The running game was a bit sluggish at times, but just seeing Kyle Kelly have the ability to throw that football, especially on impact plays like that fourth down conversion at the very end, it was very nice to see the Cardinals just get the air assault going.
And specifically, we mentioned you were on the call week one at Purdue. Would you have expected that week one Ball State performance to and that team to look as good as they did against Kent State?
I would have, exclusively because at the start of the year, Kent State had nothing going for them. So, yeah, I will admit, at the start of the year, you looked at this game and said, all right, that should be a victory going our way. And, you know, you look at that Auburn game, and you can pretty honestly say, you know, it's Auburn. They were a high-rated team at that point. They had just beaten a solid Baylor team on the road. So losing the way that the Cardinals did to the Tigers, where, you know, Kyle Kelly was getting pressured every single play, and the offense couldn't get anything going, I think it took over half for the first third down to be converted by that team. You could walk away from that and say, all right, you know, that's kind of what happens on the road when a team from the MAC like Ball State plays an SEC school. But it was the improvement in how Kyle Kelly looked over the stretch of this season that's what really surprised me, because at the start of the year, I don't think anybody really knew how Kyle Kelly would perform in conference play, because he was under so much pressure that you're looking at a guy who has to develop poise behind his offensive line mid-season, and that's a difficult thing to do, but he's really rallied around his group, and he's looked much more confident. His rollout ability has been impressive. His throwing on the run has improved. That's what really surprises me from going back to the Auburn game to now.
Do you know what I've noticed about Kyle Kelly? The uptick in passing attempts for one, and just overall trust in the offense. Do you see that as well?
I do, especially on third downs. This was a Ball State team that for the first three games of the season, it was a pretty consistent first down run, second down run, third down run even. And that's changed a bit. We're seeing more second down throws from Kyle Kelly. We're seeing third down throws. I mean, we saw a fourth and two where we were kind of expecting maybe some sort of run play to come out, and instead it's a play action slide that decided the game with a great play call. So Coach Yu's improvement in how he's willing to trust his quarterback out there on crucial plays to make a play, that really has been, it's been promising, because Kyle Kelly has had such a tumultuous career, just switching from QB to other positions, from QB1 to QB2. It feels like this is his most confident season to date, and for the coaching and the play calling, it's the most confidence we've seen in Kyle Kelly to date.
And specifically with Kyle Kelly in this game, you know, there were concerns. He had to be looked at, but it really felt like he put this Ball State squad on his back. And, I mean, would you agree with that statement?
Absolutely. I mean, from that moment on, he wanted to be on the football field. It really didn't matter to him. He got checked out by the athletic trainers during the timeout huddle. He was immediately back on his feet, and then he was right out there ready to go for the next drive, and then after halftime back out there. And, you know, we saw him on a live video after the game in the locker room, and he had blood on his shins. You know, he was a warrior out there. He took a lot of hard hits. He was running the football after that injury time after time and again. I mean, he was just a warrior. I was impressed with Kyle Kelly. It's what we expect from a guy like him, though. He's going to go out there. He's going to do everything it takes, and we just saw the heart that he has.
We really did, but I want to go back to the late-game situation with Kent. The clock management, we were talking about it earlier, me and Max, about the questions about that. What were your thoughts on Kent State's clock management on that final drive?
Well, you know, Kent State, what they've done in the last 2 weeks is had really good second half play, but those chunks have mainly been from, you know, midway through the third quarter to midway through the fourth quarter. They have outscored teams 31-0 in the last two games during that stretch of time. And you could tell that this was a Kent State team that they haven't had to run a two-minute drill this season, because the way the time management worked on third downs, just running way too much time off of the clock. There was a third and two situation where it seemed pretty obvious the decision was to run the football there. And then Drew DeShields is looking over to his coaching staff saying, I don't know what the play call is. Nobody knows. Everybody's looking to the sideline. Then they eventually call a timeout, and there's 15 seconds off of the clock for you. And then they get the first down, right? The next drive or the next set of downs, they have another third down situation, another third and two, and they throw the football. You should really run the ball there, because the worst thing that happens is you gain nothing and you run it again, or you gain a yard and then you run it again, or you gain the first down. But throwing the ball, it's either yardage or it's an incompletion. So I didn't really understand that, especially with one timeout. And, you know, it's tough because Coach Carney just had the head coach tag taken up. He just had the interim tag removed. So a lot of people look to this game as a proving ground, even though he had already been the head coach for the whole season. It's just disappointing that first time he's out there on the football field as the permanent head coach, they have a coaching situation like that.
And I want to go back to one other conversation that we had, and it was about the MAC implications. Obviously, this was a fourth win for Ball State, but one thing we touched on the broadcast a lot was just how competitive the Mid-American Conference really is this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very competitive. You know, you just think about the top teams are losing, and then even the bottom teams are being competitive. UMass almost beat Buffalo. You think about it, they probably should have beaten Buffalo. But, I mean, you know, Ohio beats Miami. That's a big game that knocks off the one undefeated team in conference play. And now you have five teams who can all make the championship. You technically have six. Ball State's chances are about 0.5, 0.6. We'll see what the actual percentages are after the end of the week. But they were at 0.01% heading into this game. Still a chance. You know, two lost teams. Anybody with two losses still has a chance to go to Detroit. And it's a competitive conference. And for Ball State, you play Toledo and Miami. Those games, let's say Ball State beats Eastern Michigan. You know, you go 2-0 in those games, you pull off two road upsets, and you're probably going to Detroit, which is just a testament of how competitive this conference is, that a team like Ball State, who's struggled for the past 4 years to get something going, all of a sudden a new coach comes in, and you know, with two losses, you're still looking at, hey, we go out there, we win out, and we'll find ourselves in the MAC championship game.
It really is wild to think about, because flip the switch a little bit. You go from an analyst to a fan. Think about that. The Ball State Cardinals are playing meaningful football in the month of November. I don't know if that was the expectation going into this season. I don't know about on your end if that was the expectation, but regardless, that's incredible to me.
Yeah, I think that heading into the season, you at least looked at the schedule with hope. Because Kent State, Eastern Michigan at home, that breeds you a little bit of confidence. Two programs that have also struggled in the MAC. But once the season got rolling and we saw, you know, a big loss at Purdue, a big loss at Auburn, a tight win against New Hampshire, things started to kind of go down in the minds of Ball State fans. And ever since conference play has started, this team has really churned things out. I think the promise came at about the UConn game. A 3rd-and-7 away from having the ball with 2 minutes to go, down six, and a chance to win. And Ball State ended up giving up a touchdown and then scoring a touchdown. So that kind of tells you the chances Ball State would have had if that third down had been stopped by the defense. And from there, I think people looked at this Ball State team and said, you know what, this team could make a bowl. Like, I think that's the real emphasis. It's not about the slim chances of making it to Detroit. It's about the not-so-slim chances at around 10% of winning six games. You beat Eastern Michigan on the 15th, then all of a sudden, hey, you just squeak one out against Toledo or Miami. You could find yourself going to the Bahamas Bowl. You could find yourself going bowling, and that's something that this program has missed.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up there, and Elliot will make a cut. Braden, thank you so much for your time. But for more on just such a big win for Ball State, after the game, Joe Edrick Lewis talked to the media.
It started at practice. You know, we practiced situational football. You know, in that situation, we knew what they was going to try to do. You know, and I came out and capitalized on it. Like I said, it started at practice. Everything starts at practice with us. You know, real detail-oriented. You know, on Thursdays, we try not to let them in the end zone, especially so if we can replicate it on Saturdays like you see today. Like I said, we practiced situational football, you know, in this situation where they were on the field. We knew they was going to, with the personnel they had, we knew they was going to try something. They needed to, you know, get a score or anything, to get some yards, a big play. So in that moment, I just knew, like, I seen the players, I seen what they was going to do, and I just waited for him to throw it, and, you know, I did the rest.
Back with more Cardinal Kickoff. Max, let's also go into another elephant in the room. There are many of them. I want to talk about what it would take for this Cardinals team to make a bowl.
So what it's going to take to make a bowl? Well, you're going to need to win six games. Ball State has won four right now. They host Eastern Michigan in about a week and a half back in Schumann Stadium. And then you're on the road, and it's going to be a tough road stretch. When they announced the schedule, everyone was like, oh, it's at Toledo, at Miami to end the year. Those are two programs that were coming into the season. Everyone expected a big year from them. They have performed well this year. So if Ball State wants to be bowl eligible, they are going to need to win two games. The most likely scenario would be, you would think, winning against Eastern Michigan and then winning against, Toledo or Miami. Who knows with the MAC, though? It's been a really interesting year. That's the word we'll use. Not weird, but interesting year in the Mid-American Conference. So either way, you need to get two wins. And The biggest thing is Ball State technically, as Braden mentioned earlier, has an opportunity to maybe make a MAC championship. It would take a lot to happen, but Ball State would need to win these last three games. But that's a little too far in the future. I think at this point, the big thing that Ball State wants to focus on is, hey, we got to win two of the next three if you're a Ball State Cardinals fan in order to go bowling, which I don't think when we started this season and we go back to that Purdue preview, we would have expected to be talking about Ball State potentially going bowling.
I really don't know if I would think the same way as well, but I do want to put this out there. Head coach Mike Yuremovich, this is his first season. Not only does Ball State already have more wins than last year, but they're playing really important football in the month of November. I talked about it with Braden. This is meaningful football that the Cardinals are playing. So obviously we do care what happens these final three games, but the Cardinals could go 0-3 in this stretch. And at the same time, you would look at this season and think, man, Ball State, they improved from last year. Head coach Mike Yuremovich, from that front, has a successful first season.
100%. The reason why Coach Yuremovich was brought here, it was because he was able to turn around that Butler program, and he made Butler a major contender. And, you know, the fact that you are able to improve the Ball State Cardinals from last year to now under a first-year head coach, for any program in the country, I think they would be happy with the results of the season. Even if they end up being 4-8, you got to be happy with the fact that they've been turned around. And it is so easy to be kind of focused on, you know, Ball State could be going bowling. But the big thing is, in the Cardinals, they know this. Their only intention, you know, they play to go 1-0 every single week. Their only intention is going to be focusing on beating Eastern Michigan. You cannot overlook them. But, yeah, it's been a fun year for Ball State, and regardless of what happens, this is going to be a good story for Ball State fans.
Hey, you kind of have to take it one week at a time. But looking ahead, Miami will be that last game. That's going to be a tough matchup, and I love the quarterback matchup that we could potentially get. You got Daquan Finn of Miami and Kyle Kelly at Ball State, both in their final seasons of eligibility, and both very similar quarterbacks that can really hurt you with their feet.
Oh, and the big thing is, for Miami, they're going to want to be, you know, ending the year off right. They're going to want to be competing potentially for a MAC championship as well. And we've seen this story so many times where it goes down to the wire between Ball State and Miami. And the real question is going to be, can the Cardinals, have a chance to go bowling? But I just going back, you mentioned that quarterback matchup. It's going to be a really fun one. And that's what makes the MAC so fun, is we can have these really fun quarterback matchups.
Oh, indeed we do. But Ball State, for them to be bowl eligible, they're going to have to do something that they haven't done all season, and that's win on the road.
And I really don't, and I don't think anyone really knows why Ball State is struggling on the road. Now, it's not been an easy schedule. You've had some tough environments to play in, but all season long, we've been talking about, can the Cardinals get a win on the road? And I would think if they, and I mentioned this earlier, if they can play like they did against Kent State, or if they can play like they did against Ohio, they will be able to get a win on the road.
It'll be so crucial for the Cardinals. But I'm just excited that we're even playing meaningful football in November, and that this has been a great first year for the Mike Yuremovich regime. And that's it for us on the Cardinal Kickoff. I'm Rowan Elbert. That's Max Gilley. The Ball State Cardinals were victorious in midweek action, and we'll see you next week. The Cardinal Kickoff is a Ball State SportsLink production.